Man, what a great morning it is to come and worship God in His house, isn't it? You know, as the spring is here, you know, the sun's out, it's getting warmer. All the people that like to garden, you can do your thing now. It's just that exciting time of year. And so I'm really excited to be able to preach this second sermon of this series in DNA. You know, as others get to travel and we get to be here for spring break, you know, we're the faithful few that are here. You know, there's a good crowd here, actually, you know, but so thank you for being here. You know, I know many of you probably took your vacation and you're back because you have kids and you have to be back for school tomorrow. But for those that don't have kids and you're still gone and you're watching online, thank you for joining us. And, you know, I'm very excited to preach this message. First off, I just want to say thank you for being a church that is willing to allow a 26-year-old in ministry to get up and preach in front of you. You know, I've only been in ministry for 4 years. Grew up in ministry a lot longer than that. But, you know, it's very telling to see the DNA, as we're talking about today, of a church, as you let someone young like me get up and preach God's word. Because this is a huge thing to me. And, you know, as this church, this is something that we're cultivating and trying to do as we are going out and eventually going to start a residency and all that kind of stuff. All these things play into it. And so the DNA of our church is huge. Where we focus our hearts, our money, our actions, how we serve, all of it plays a part of the DNA of our church. And so today, if you would, go ahead and turn with me to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's where we're going to be in Matthew and Acts today, looking at the Great Commission and how that applies to us. So Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bible or if you have the Bible app on your phone. It's like a student told me one time, they had to make space on their phone for some games, so they deleted the Bible app. And I was like, just delete something else. Keep the Bible app. It doesn't take up that much data. So you should have one of the two in your hand. If not, it's on the screen. So here we go. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we're looking at our mission is to reflect Jesus and make disciples. To reflect Jesus and make disciples. That's exactly what Matthew 28 gets at right here, is to reflect Jesus and make disciples. Many of us, all of us have probably heard this passage in some way, taught in some way. You know, it's kind of like the go-to, you know, evangelism passage that everybody kind of like just kind of knows. But do we actually live this passage out? Do we take this to heart and do we really like live it out and tell people about Jesus and make disciples? You know, oftentimes we don't. But the cool part about this, Matthew 28, and then we're going to read Acts 1:8 in just a second. So you can kind of turn there if you want to kind of get ahead of me. But the cool part about these passages is, you know, there's something important about them. They're said at the end of Jesus' ministry. You know, if you're ever leaving for something or whatever you're doing, you know, in the last moment you have with someone, you say the most important things to them. You know, whether it be you're just like going out for a drink, going out to get a burger, or like some serious, like, you know, a loved one is passing away, you say the serious things that you want to say in those last moments, you know, at whatever it may be. And that's what Jesus is doing right here. You know, so this week I went out to get some DQ, Dairy Queen. Who likes Dairy Queen? You know, just me? Okay. Yeah. DQ in Texas, it's like their slogan is, you know, that's what I love about Texas. That's the Texas part of me coming out. But I love Dairy Queen. You know, chicken and gravy, you can't go wrong there. But that's beside the point. So I went out to get us Dairy Queen. As I was leaving, I said, you know, I'll see you later. Have fun to Mariah. And, you know, the have fun was, you know, the kids were already in bed. Have fun watching your show for the 15 minutes I'm gone. You know, the fun you have as a mom with, you know, two little ones. But that's what I said. I'll see you in a bit. Have fun. You know, that's not where we are in this passage. If I was to like be going to war or to be gone for like years and years at a time, it would have been like a heartfelt, I love you. You know, I'm going to miss you. You know, wait for me, all this kind of stuff, whatever it is. You know, I would have told my heart to her in that moment. It wasn't a, you know, I'll see you in a bit. Have fun kind of thing. And that's what Jesus is doing here in Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8. It's a serious moment. He's not saying, you know, Christians, you know, I'll be back one day, just chill out, have fun, have some Dairy Queen. You know, it'll, you know, go get a blizzard. You know, it's not that kind of like motto right here. It's a call to action. Jesus is calling us out to follow this mission that he's given us here in Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8. So Acts 1:8, if you want to read along with me. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. A short little verse there, but it's obvious that it wasn't a, you know, kick your feet up, have a good time, you know, wait till I get back. It's a serious command of saying, follow me, go out and do this for me. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, Jesus came to earth, you know, he lived a sinless life, died for your sins on the cross, was buried and conquered death. And he's coming back again one day. And that is what he lived for. He lived for his testimony, for us to be able to tell people about him, which leads people to salvation. So we are saved so we can go tell others about him. It's not like, oh my goodness, my life was terrible, I'm saved now, I'm free from all this brokenness in this world, I'm good. No, it's you're saved and you're supposed to go out and you're supposed to tell people about him. You're supposed to go out and evangelize, make disciples. You know, it shouldn't be a part of our DNA to just stop there, you know. We get what we want and we're done. There's a lot more to it than just being done after your salvation. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So ransom had to be paid for the brokenness in this world. And that ransom was paid by Jesus Christ himself. A lot of times we forget that. We forget that he went to the cross. He suffered beating and all kinds of shame and then died on a cross in a shameful way in front of the people that, you know, loved him and hated him. And we forget that he did that for us, but when we think about it, does it really urge us to do something, you know, in our life? Because a lot of times, you know, I'm guilty of this as well. You know, a lot of times I just, you know, can coast and be like, you know what, this is, you know, I got to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to get this done, but I'm not really going to, like, do much, you know? Like, oh, yeah, I'll tell this person about Jesus, about church, about why I'm so excited to be in ministry, but, you know, like, but then if it's kind of awkward, then I kind of don't, you know? And I feel like most of us are in that boat. And I'm not saying that you have never done anything in your Christian life and you're not fulfilling God's calling on your life, but there's always something more we can be doing. And we can always be doing something more. So Jesus used his last days and his last words to express this thought. He was now leaving the earth. How would the world find out about the things he had done for them? He had a plan. He had a plan, and we have it right here in Matthew 28 and Acts 1. Jesus had a plan. His disciples were to make the gospel known to all men. Sounds simple, right? You know, we know something great. We're supposed to go tell people, and they're going to hear it, and hopefully life change happens. But this falls on us, on sinful human beings with free will that have the choice not to tell others. That's where it becomes tricky. Something so easy becomes so hard because it's our job, and lots of times we drop the ball. But what if one person evangelized to one person, and then that person accepted Christ, and then those people went out and reached two more, and then four turned into six, and six turned into, four turned into eight. That was bad math. Four turned into eight, eight into 16, and so on. I won't go any higher numbers than that. It's obviously not my job as the numbers, but you get the point. If you go out and you evangelize and you reach that one in your life, then it just snowballs down and you continue to reach another one and that person goes on and reaches another one. And that is Jesus' plan. But we have to be willing to do that. Doing that though, reaching out, finding that person in your life, telling them about the great news of Jesus Christ can set the world on fire for Christ, can set Southgate on fire for Christ, can set Springfield on fire for Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome to see like hundreds and hundreds of people come to Southgate as new believers. Just as Pastor Jason has said many times the past few weeks, that he wants to see 100 new believers at Southgate this next year. And in student ministry, we want to see 25 new believers in student ministry. And so in ways in student ministry, we're asking God to double the things that we're doing in student ministry just through new salvations and new believers. And that's a huge ask. You know, that's a huge ask of Southgate, huge ask of God to say, God, let this be done this year. But if we're willing to ask big things, God will fulfill those big things. So have you ever thought about how the spread of the gospel relies on us, a broken and sinful and hurt people? You know, why did God do that? Why did God put that on us? You know, because he knew that true life change, whenever we experience God, he knew that if we experience true life change, that it would cause a ripple effect. People would see that in our life. They would see the love, the joy, the passion that we have for his word, for the Bible, for God, for new salvations, for discipling others. You know, he knew that if we were changed, we could change others. And so that's the plan. So let me ask you this, and think on this. If you have never told someone about Christ or led someone to Christ, what purpose are you fulfilling in your walk with Christ? You know, it's hard to think of, and I'm not shaming anybody because I'm guilty of all this as well, but it's hard to think of, but a lot of times we do drop the ball in this area. You know, we come to consume. We don't come to worship and to live out our mission for God. A lot of times it's on the consumer side. So who's your one? As I mentioned, we're going through this series down in student ministry. Who's your one where we're encouraging? I think if you've been here at Southgate for a while, I believe you went through it in here, but the students have never gone through it. And it's where we're encouraging the students to reach out to that one person in their life that they want to invite to church and to tell about Jesus. And so we're going through that right now. And I'm really excited to see what God's going to do through that. Because if just one of them gets on fire and invites that person to church and they accept Jesus, then it's going to show everyone else that, okay, you know what? I can do this too. It's not that big of an ask for us to go and tell someone about him, especially when we think of what Jesus did on the cross for us. I was asked this by one of the students after I was preaching a few weeks ago for midweek. They said, if someone never tells someone about Christ but calls themselves a believer, are they really a believer? Are you really a believer if you've never told someone about Christ? You know, where are you in your, where's your heart at with Christ, with God? You know, I paused for a minute and I said, you know what? We really don't know. We can't judge people's hearts and people's actions. You know, there's things that Scripture says we can look at, but only God knows your heart, your intentions, what you're wanting to do in life and where you're at with him. But we can hope that if someone, a believer, has never told someone about Christ or invited someone to church, that they would be convicted enough to eventually do that. And because God's working in us. God wants the best for us, but he asks a lot of us in that sense. And so how are you reaching out to those people in your life? If you have never been someone that, you know, I'm not that outgoing and all that, and trust me, it takes me being intentional and willing to go out and to tell people about Jesus, because it is awkward and it is hard, but is it worth it? You know, are you willing to go through that awkwardness to reach someone for Christ? So only God knows your heart, and Christianity is one of those things, you can't fake it until you make it. You know, like, you can tithe, you can serve, you can come every Sunday and get like the perfect attendance award, you know, whatever it is, you know, which are all great things. I'm not knocking those things. But if your heart is not in it, then you're not going to eventually say like, oh yeah, God's not going to be like, you know what, you've given enough, you've come to church enough that, you know what, I'll let you into heaven. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, it'd be nice if it did, because a lot of people could get into heaven then, more people. But it doesn't. You know, it takes a true heart conversion of following and loving Jesus Christ, being on mission for him. So where are you in your relationship with Christ? You know, it's kind of hard to think on and self-evaluate, but But where are you in your walk with Christ? You know, what are you struggling with? What are you needing to do in your life to get to that point, to tell people about him, to invite people to church, to serve more, to just do whatever you need to do to get right with God? Where are you? You know, I want you to think about that today and this week. So last week, Jason mentioned a purpose that if he were to call you, our church's purpose, if he were to call you at 3 a.m, he'd want you to be able to recite this purpose. And, you know, hopefully he never calls any of us at 3 a.m. But if he did, he wanted us to remember that our purpose is Christ, community, and commission. Christ, community, and commission. So today we are looking at the commission given to us found in Matthew and Acts. So there's 3 applications I want us to look at relating to the commission given to us here. The first is the power of the commission. The power of the commission given to us. So as we strive to be obedient to the commission, we will face brokenness. It's a given. We're going to face brokenness, which is sin, the hurt, the pain, the darkness, the loss. We're going to face those things in life. And it's a given. We can't get away from those things. We're going to face sin. We're going to face struggles. We're going to face addictions. All of it. You know, as they put on the screen, this 3 circles chart. You know, we went through this in student ministry not too long ago as well. And we're encouraging the students to use this to evangelize and to get through the things in their life that they're kind of personally working through as well. But it goes through God has a design for us. God has a plan for us. And it leads to, from God's design, sin entered the world. Brokenness came. And from brokenness, we have the gospel, which is the good news. And from the good news, we're supposed to follow his plan and evangelize and tell people about him. And so following this 3 circles plan, that's how we're kind of like in youth ministry, you know, trying to send out our students and trying to evangelize and tell people about him and using this process. But the brokenness circle, you know, you see the lines going out of it. You can write this down in your, write this picture of the 3 circles down in your notes if you want. But the lines going out are the sins, the struggles of this world that we deal with. You know, the addictions, the hurts, habits, and hangups that I've, you know, heard many pastors say before. Whatever it is in your life, you know, that causes that brokenness, that's the root of that sinful nature that you have, you know, that's where it lies in that brokenness state. You know, another thing in that state is the devil. You know, a lot of times we don't talk about this, but, you know, Satan does not want us to evangelize. He does not want us to bring people to church, to tell people about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, he wants to do everything he can to push those people away and to veer our mission off to the side and get us distracted in certain ways, you know, and whatever that may be. But sin and the devil and the world are going against everything that we are doing. But we have the power of Christ within us. We have the power of Christ within us. We have the Holy Spirit. So on our own, we have no power against the world, the brokenness, the struggles. On our own, we cannot conquer those things. But you can conquer those hurts and those pains and those just the brokenness that you face with Jesus Christ if you're willing to let him be a part of your life. You know, we only have the power to conquer the brokenness if we let Jesus in, if we rely on him. You know, a lot of times we like to, you know, shoulder it and just lift up as much as we can and say, God, I got this. But that's not how God wants us to do this. He wants us to say, God, I give it to you. Take this. You know, heal me, make me new, use me. You know, and so I pray that that's where we are as a church. So the Holy Spirit empowers us to move past the brokenness and reach those hurting and willing to be healed. So are you letting the Holy Spirit give you power? Are you letting the Holy Spirit give you excitement to tell people about him? Because Christ is within us if you are a believer. And if you don't experience that today, I pray that you make that decision. I pray that you see the need and you see the hurt in your life and you say, you know what? I want something more. I want to know about this guy, Jesus Christ. I want to know why he died on the cross for me. You know, you can make that decision today and know him personally. But again, that's something that you have to personally do. I can't say, you know what, I want you saved right now. I want everybody to go to heaven with me. I want us to have a big party in heaven and all that kind of stuff. And it's done. You know, it has to be on you. You have to be the one to make the decision in your life to know Jesus personally. But if you know him personally, he dwells within us. And that should give us excitement. It should. Right here at Southgate, this is beginning to be understood, as I said, with the three circles, how we're using that in our life, how we're, you know, the fear, we can all remember being in high school and junior high and the peer pressure and the fears and the different things that you had to go through. And going through the three circles and the who's your one, I got many questions of and thoughts of, like, you know, what are people going to think of me if I, like, you know, at the lunch table break out, like, a little booklet that has three circles and say, you know, look at this, you know, this is, you know, church. You know, not actually like that, but we practice in a much better way, but you get what I mean by that. You know, and it can be awkward, you know, and weird and embarrassing to, like, be out there for Jesus and your friends to judge you. You know, as adults, you know, we understand that more too, as, you know, in our workplaces, you know, it doesn't get easier when you, like, leave junior high and high school to tell people about Jesus. You know, it just continues to get hard and you know, we begin to get less willing to do so. But are we being intentional? Are we being intentional to share the gospel and to tell people about him? So as I said, you know, like, as the students were going through this, naturally there's fear, there's worry, you know, there's discomfort that it can bring. And something that, you know, hopefully can give you encouragement and that gave me encouragement was a conversation that I had with my mom quite a bit of time ago whenever I met Mariah. So whenever me and Mariah met, you know, I thought she was awesome and, you know, like, I wanted to date her and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, naturally, you know, I was pretty scared to even, like, talk to her. I didn't even want to ask her out. But I knew that I liked her, but, you know, I was pretty worried and scared that I would get that no, you know, like, kind of get away from me and then, like, she would never talk to me. But I wasn't talking to her anyway, so it's like, at that moment, so it's like something that I didn't even have that I was afraid of losing, you know? Whatever. But a conversation I had with my mom was this. She said, "Zach, it simply comes down to this. Is she worth the no? Is she worth the no?" I'm like, what does that mean, Mom? Like, is she worth the no? If she is worth it, you will risk the possible embarrassment it could bring. Mom, why are you so wise? You know, like, I know that, but, like, why do you have to tell me it? You know, and a lot of times that's how we are, you know, in our faith and in our walk. Obviously, you know, I thought she was worth the no because, you know, she's here today, so she's pretty awesome. But in your life, is that person that you thought of, that person that, as we're talking about, the who's your one, using the three circles, sharing the gospel, you know, is that person in your life worth it? Are they worth that period of awkwardness and possible embarrassment to have life change from eternity in hell to eternity in heaven? You know, are they worth it? Because, you know, a lot of times it seems like they're not, you know, because we're scared of what someone will think, of what the world will think, of what our, you know, whatever happens to us, we're just fearful. But are they worth it? You know, a lot of times we'll risk it for a relationship, but will we risk it for our faith? So you have the power of the Spirit. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. So let's act like we know that we have the Spirit within us. Let's act like we're excited for Jesus Christ, excited to go out and tell people about him. And let's move past that barrier of fear, past that barrier of worry, and awkwardness. I know it's hard. I've been there plenty of times, and it's just, like, weird, you know, like, okay, like, I'm going to tell you about some stuff real quick, you know. It doesn't just happen like that randomly. You know, you have to build the relationships, and it has to get there, but you have to be willing to go past all that stuff to tell people about him. So are you going to be intentional and take that step? Wherever you're at, as I asked you earlier, what do you need to work on in your life? As you get through that thing in your life that you need to work on, are you going to be intentional? Are you going to move forward? Understanding that you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Because if you really believe that, then you're willing to risk it for Christ. The next thing is the plan of the commission. The plan of the commission. You can't get more simple than go. Go is defined as to proceed without delay or to move out from the place where one is. So the definition fits perfectly with Jesus's intentions and plan right here. He wants us to go. We can't sit and wait and expect people to come to us. You know, how nice would that be if we could just stay in here and just expect people to naturally filter in and say, like, oh, hey, like, Jesus, you know, this guy died for you and he loves you, and then, like, they're gone. And the next person comes in. You know, that's not how it works. You know, occasionally that happens, but, you know, the true intention is us going out into our community, into our lives, and telling people about him through the life, through the relationships that we're building in our lives. So that's the plan, to go. So are we taking advantage of the opportunity to witness to others? So some people in the Bible that chose to go and to listen to God, you know, some, you know, ended up going, you know, after a process of saying, no, I'm not going, but they ended up going, like Jonah going to Nineveh, Moses going to Pharaoh, you know, me from Texas to Springfield, Mariah from Ohio to Springfield, Derek and Cindy from Oklahoma to Springfield, Brandy and Ryan from Republic to Springfield, that one's a far one, Jason and April from Chicago to Springfield. You know, there must be a lot of sinners here in Springfield, I'm guessing. You know, I'm getting to know some of them. But are you willing to go where God's calling you? Are you willing to step out in faith and into the unknown and doing something bold for Christ, for Jesus? Because God is asking you to do something great for him, because he did something great for you. So God requires movement, and no, it doesn't have to be from state to state or country to country, but it has to be something. You know, what is that thing in your life that you're going to do? You know, is it whenever you're at your kid's ball game, you know, in the stands or whatever, and, you know, if you just sit in your same spot every week and don't talk to anybody, you know, is it moving somewhere else in the stands and talking to a different family? Is it inviting people over your house for a barbecue? Is it whatever it is in your life, what is it you can do to invite people into your life and to build relationships and get them connected with you and eventually to church and to Jesus? So as we get into this last little bit, let me give you a little bit more in these passages of Matthew and Acts. So in Matthew, Jesus said we are to go into the entire world. So into the entire world, that's obvious, we understand that. Into the entire world. Okay, got it. But in Acts, it says this. It says to go to Judea. It says to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So what does that mean to us? You know, that's much different than the, you know, go to the entire world. You know, in Acts 1:8, it breaks it down a little more. So how does that come out to us? How does that apply to us? So the first thing is Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the city that the disciples were in. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. So then they were to go and witness right where they are when Jesus told them to do so. So where is our Jerusalem? Our Jerusalem is right here where we are in Springfield. Maybe it's our close friends, our family at home or work or school. Whatever it is, where is that Jerusalem place in your life? Who are the people that you do life with every single day? As Jason likes to say, where we live, work, and play. You know, are you living out Jesus in those places? So it may even be the people that live under your roof that need to hear Jesus the most. It is right where you are, right where you spend your time, the people close to you. So the disciples weren't to just sit and stay in Jerusalem, and neither are we. We are to go to Judea. Judea was that region. For us, it is those people on our fringe, around us, when we are in our little world and we don't see those people on the outer ends of our world. They are the people at work that we don't know but usually associate with. They are the kids at school that are outside our little clique, you know, the ones that we know about and like occasionally say hi, but we never truly make that intentional relationship with them. Jesus wants us to get up, move out, and reach out to them. Then there are the Samaritans. You know, the Samaritans are interesting because they were Jews that were left behind. They intermarried with Gentiles, and when the exiled Jews returned, they looked down on the Samaritans as half-breeds, impure and not truly Jews. Self-respecting Jews would not have anything to do with these Samaritans. But Jesus said, go to them. Go to them and make my name known. So who are the Samaritans to us? There are those who are not like us. They are different. They are the ones who we look down on, avoid, and ignore. Maybe we even dislike them. They're of a lower income, lesser education, lower social status, or whatever it is. Who are those people in your life, in our life, in our society that we completely ignore because we think they are not good enough? You know, these are the people that Jesus was telling them to go to in his day. So who are those people in our day? We are to lay aside our judgment and go to them and tell them of a God who loves them and died for them just as he died for us. And no one is outside of our responsibility to witness to. I want you to understand that. No one is outside of our responsibility to witness to, even if you think they are. Jesus says we are to go to every single person, no matter where or who or how far away they are. We have the responsibility to see to it that all people have an opportunity to hear and respond to Christ. You know, another interesting thing about this passage is the concept of go. You know, the passage isn't saying, you know, to choose to go or not go. It actually translates to as you go. And so the things that we're doing in our life that you should be doing, that you should be building relationships and reaching people, you know, those are the things that you should already be doing. The choice is whether in the going, are you telling people about Jesus or not? You know, that's the choice we're making. Are we witnessing or not witnessing? Because we all are going in our lives. We all meet people every single day. Whatever it may be, whatever we do, we all meet different people. So we're already going. But are we telling or not telling people about Jesus? That's where the responsibility lies on us. Because we already live a life. People are already in that life. It's our responsibility to tell people about him. So now that we better understand the witnessing as we go, let's look at the promise of the commission. The promise of the commission. So by what authority do we tell others? Who or what gives us the authority to go? If a policeman wants to carry out his duty, he has a badge. He can pull you over, write you a fine, take you to jail, whatever it may be, he has the authority. So a little side note, you know, whenever preparing a sermon, you know, I'm always asking God to give me like a good analogy or a good story that goes along with, you know, part of my message to give us focus and to give us direction and just kind of tie in a personal factor. And, you know, sometimes it's hard and then sometimes, you know, a story just kind of falls in your lap. And so I already had that little bit in there. And then Friday morning, I get a text from Mariah saying that she had been pulled over. And, you know, I was writing this in the other day, and she's like, oh, you're going to say that? And I was like, yes, I have to. So, you know, if Ryan Dewey's in here, she could probably deserve some more punishment. No, I'm just kidding. I should just stop there and make you think what it was. Because it really wasn't even her fault, it was mine. But I shouldn't have said that. I just threw myself under the bus. But so Mariah was out driving yesterday running some errands, and I get a text saying she had been pulled over, and then I later get a text saying she had received a ticket. And, yes, she was going 160 miles an hour. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She had been pulled over because her tags were expired. And you think, like, oh, yeah, not a big deal, but it was, like, January of 2021. Yes, I hear the shock. Yes, I understand I'm a terrible husband. I understand that. When she told me, I was like, yeah, my truck's up to date. So I just forgot about her van, you know. So yeah, I have to do that in the next few weeks and pay that ticket. But so that was something fun that, you know, we got to experience, or she got to experience the other day for my mistake, because, you know, I do that, but I just obviously didn't care about her minivan. But the police officer, that's the story right there. The police officer had the power, had the authority to pull her over. And, you know, in the same manner, we are given authority by Jesus Christ. We are given authority to go out and proclaim and tell people about him. So it is found right here at the end of Matthew where it says, "Go, therefore." Go because I say so. In verse 18, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now he is saying that we are to go on that authority. We need no more and no other authority than that. God has told us that we have the authority. And then down further it says, "And behold." What's the importance of "and behold"? It's another statement that says, pay attention, look what I'm going to say. He is with us when we go witness. It says, "And behold, I am with you. I am with you always." Always means forever. Jesus says that he is always with us in every place, at every time. So why do we fear living on mission for him? Why do we fear that if we understand that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us and we have Jesus right there with us and he's given us the authority to do what he's called us to do? Why do we fear that if we understand that? So with that on your mind, let me reiterate this. There is no greater joy that you can experience than that of leading someone to Christ. There is no greater joy than leading someone to Christ. We have the ability to go to lost people and say that we understand where they are at and the brokenness that they're facing, because we too came from that brokenness, came from that sin. And we too were given the power and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And that person can receive it too if we're willing to tell them about it. So now that we understand the commission a little bit better, let's look at this scenario, and then we'll be done here in just a second. It will be on the screen for you as you follow along, because it's kind of hard to kind of stay with. But listen to this. What if there was an important job to be done and everybody was sure that somebody would do it? Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. An interesting thought, isn't it? So Jesus gave us a lot of instruction about being on mission and making disciples, but it simply starts with us taking that step of faith and telling someone about Christ. Building a genuine relationship with someone is where it starts. Us willing to go out and live on mission for him. So none of us wants to be a nobody, and the Bible makes it pretty clear that anybody can get involved. So is this a part of your DNA? Is this a part of our church's DNA? Are we living on mission for Christ? Now I'm going to invite the band up as we close. And I want us to really think of the mission that we've been given here in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Acts 1, 8. Are we living on mission for Christ? So if you would, bow your heads as we pray and we think of these things. So God is calling us on mission for him, but have you accepted that calling? And if you have, are you living it out? Is he calling you? Is God calling you to get involved? God, we come to you with open hearts today, Lord, understanding that you've given us a mission, that you've given us a plan to follow, and all we have to do is to go out and to tell people about you. Lord, it's something so simple, but something so major as it impacts an entire life. Lord, I pray today that we can we can be open with you and we can be honest with you where we're at. Lord, if we need healing, if we need guidance, if we need to recommit to this mission, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you use Southgate. You use your people that are willing to serve you and to go out and to tell people about you. Give us opportunities to do so, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if you would, stand with me. The band's going to play here in just a second. So wherever you're at in your life, you know, the altar is open today. If you are someone that needs to commit to Christ and make a decision of faith and say, you know what, I'm not on mission and I want to be on mission, come forward, pray to God, give him your life. If you're someone that is a believer and you are doing this day in and day out and you just need that extra boost of energy and say, God, I know that you're there with me, but I don't feel it all the time, come forward and pray to him and say, God, continue to give me the strength to be your servant. And if you want to come forward and pray for your church today, that we are a church on fire for him, a church that loves him, a church that serves him, and a church that wants to be on mission telling people about him and seeing the lost saved, come forward and pray that as well. So as the band leads us today, come forward wherever you are at. Give your heart to God in this moment. So come forward as you will.